Hello, hello, hello. Welcome back to the show. Hope everybody had a nice holiday, whatever you celebrate. Hope it was nice to be with family. I know the holidays can actually be hard sometimes. And so, you know, for those of you out there who the holidays aren't the happiest time, just know that you're not forgotten and you're loved and you matter. And yeah, the holidays can be hard. So I just wanted to share that before we talk a little bit about, you know, this isn't going to be some structured, these are my New Year's resolutions. And I'm sorry for that voice. It sounds like I'm not somebody who thinks New Year's resolutions are a good idea. I think they're a fantastic idea. I think you should absolutely strongly consider using the transition from one year to the next as a chance to reflect and to project and to look forward and set some goals for yourself. I love that. I love that. I have an episode from last year. If you scroll back to like, I think this exact day last year, I did a podcast on New Year's resolutions. I'll actually put that in the show notes here if you want to reference that. My thoughts have not really changed. I thought about whether I wanted to do an update podcast. There would be no point. My thoughts are very similar. And the TLDR is, I think, goal setting, serious goal setting is not something most people do, right? People don't sit down and write out their goals and how they're going to get them and think about it and, you know, be introspective and ask good questions. And if you can use the shifting from December 31st to January 1st, this sort of temporal landmark, as an opportunity to set some goals, I think that that's a fantastic idea. And my thoughts on that really have not changed. And today's not going to be my strict goals. I'm going to start with a statement. And it's going to be a little bit of a therapy session for me to talk through what's going on in my head. And I thought about whether or not this would even be a good podcast, but I do think it will resonate with some of you guys. And sometimes I think just sharing what's on my mind can resonate. This is not going to be a, you know, how to do this sort of podcast or breaking down a specific topic. This is going to be about the statement that my 2026 goal is to be mediocre. And I'm smiling. You can't see me. I'm smiling because I think it's kind of, the word mediocre is a bit funny. It's a bit funny way of saying it, but it probably made you click on the podcast. And so it worked. You're here. But I will break down that choice of word in a bit. It's probably not the perfect word, but it did make me chuckle. So I will explain that later. But before we talk about 2026 and maybe some of the evolutions that I've gone through in the last couple of years and what I see for myself going forward, we have to go backwards. The first decade and a half of my fitness journey, I started lifting when I was about 17. So for 15 years, that's until I was 32. I think that's actually perfect. A decade and a half was about one thing and one thing only, and it was about getting as jacked and lean as possible to get as much attention as possible. And make no mistake about it, I wasn't thinking about health, I wasn't thinking about longevity, and I'm not saying that those are better goals than aesthetics, but I just want to make it clear. It was about one thing and one thing only, getting as jacked and lean as possible to get as much attention as possible. I was lifting 5 to 6 days a week. I was, you know, a lot of selfies, a lot of ab flexes. I had a pretty good physique. You know, I got pretty jacked and I got a decent amount of attention for it. And I will get to the point in a second that I explain. These are not negative things. I'm not regretting any of this, but this is just what it is. This is what it was, is my body was my business card. I started out as a trainer. You know, my body was my identity, you know, all through college, it was my identity. I did some sort of like a bodybuilding show in college and it became my identity on campus as like the guy who won this thing. And yeah, it just was that. It kind of worked, right? And it worked as an, it got me the attention I was seeking. And I want to underscore that I got really good at just one thing, and we'll call that one thing body composition, right? I trained and ate and lived for one outcome, which was body composition. So muscle mass, physique, leanness, etc. And I will say now, I don't like regret it. You know, I think regret is an interesting thing. You know, I might go back and do things differently, but I don't sit here feeling deep regret about it, right? Like, I may not be in that place anymore. I certainly am not in that place anymore in terms of those values. But I went all in on something for a long time, and I think it served a few purposes, right? Going all in on a single thing to get really good at it served a few purposes. The first is it was super fun. You know, sometimes it's really fun to push yourself beyond you know, we talk a lot about efficiency on this episode, and my entire, the podcast is called Where Optimal Meets Practical, and the kind of the ethos of my business and this podcast and just what I live and breathe on social media is efficiency. It's about, you know, you don't need to take things to the extreme to be really healthy. You can train a few times a week and eat a relatively nutritious diet, and you don't need to be your absolute leanest, and you can live a really great life. But it was super fun, and it can be super fun to push a single thing for a single goal really hard into that place where there are diminishing returns, right? We talk about diminishing returns as this like really negative thing, but there can be something awesome about going deep and deeper and deeper and deeper into a single thing, a single modality, a single skill, into that place where you're fighting tooth and nail for marginal gains. That can be really fun. And it was really fun, right? And in the pursuit of getting more and more jacked and pushing myself more and more, there was a lot of learning involved. Because when you're trying to go from good to great, that is a different calculus. There's a different level of learning and just application of certain things that is required. You know, it's, I'm going to say easier. I don't mean it like the application is easier, but it's easier technically to go from, let's say, somebody who has the body composition of a sedentary person who does not lift weights to a person who is healthy and has, you know, more enough muscle mass for health. That is easier. You don't need to train as much. You don't need intricate, you know, approaches. You don't need to micromanage your intensity as much. You don't need to stress too much about your split. It's just when you're not trying to be as good at something, it's simpler, right? And so in trying to get really, really good at this single thing, there was a lot of learning involved. You know, I did a million certifications, read a million books and papers, and surrounded myself with people who were like-minded, and I learned a lot, and I'm very thankful for it. I also say that I don't regret it because my current level of musculature is easier to maintain now, and I don't think that that's something people talk about a lot. You know, a lot of people are on the low-volume train right now, which I am as well. I think low-volume, lower volume, or, you know, acknowledging that you don't need to do as much as we once thought, I think I'm on board with that 100%, but I will say what I don't think people are saying, which is that I probably benefit now. When you hear what my training's like right now, I probably look better than my training would make it seem like I should. And that's because I spent a lot of time building more muscle. And so it's a little bit easier for me to maintain on even less training now. And even though I don't have those interests now, I'm not trying to be as jacked as possible. I want to underscore what I'm about to say. I feel really at peace with not being interested in being as jacked as possible anymore because I did it. You know, like I'm, you know, it's easy for me to sit here and say, hey, you shouldn't care about being as jacked as possible. It's an empty void. You don't get, it doesn't make you happier. You know, you're not going to be happier when you're more jacked, you know, but it's... In some ways, I believe those things, but I also am very sympathetic to the idea that if somebody's never had them and they've never gone after it, that they might benefit from going after it and finding out for themselves if that is in fact what they want, right? Sometimes you need to go to that place of, I don't want to say overly extreme, but let's say you need to go to an extreme place to realize it is or is not all it's cracked up to be for you to arrive at a place where, you know, I don't want to say where I am at now as if I'm in some enlightened state. I'm happy with where I'm at. And I actually think I'm at peace with not trying to get way more jacked because I've been more jacked and I can reference, you know, what life was like and what my values were and how I was spending my time. And I don't want that thing. So having had it or having gone after it, I'm more at peace with choosing to not have it now. And there are people out there who are going after it. And I think they hear some of the messaging of like, oh, you don't need to lose those few pounds. And I generally will agree with all of those sentiments. But I also sympathize with somebody who says, okay, I hear that. I'd still like to go for it and find out for myself what it's like. And I sympathize with that. Now, I'm not in that place anymore, right? I'm not in the place where I'm trying to get way more jacked or way leaner or, you know, whatever, even that much stronger. Where am I then? You know, why is my goal to be, you know, quote unquote, mediocre? And the equation that I've thought of is, or that kind of applies what I'm talking about here is time constraints plus values equals reality. Time constraints plus values equals reality. So we're going to talk about the three components of that equation. My time constraints are 45 minutes a day, 6 days a week. That is what I can commit to in terms of exercise. And for some people, that's way more than they train. For other people, that's way less than they train. Listen, I get up early. When I say that, I'm not trying to be like, oh, I'm better than you. I get up at 4:30. That's not it. But this is a commitment I can see myself doing for a very, very long time. I don't mind being the early riser. I am I don't know if I'm a morning person. I just don't mind getting up early. And I think I can commit to this 45 minutes a day, 6 days a week, one rest day for the very long term. Like I can really see myself doing that for the long term. And you might say, well, why not train more? Why not do more than that? I don't want to. I made some notes for this podcast and I wrote the question, hey, why not train longer? And we'll get to that. Like, why is that my constraint? Like, why am I placing that constraint? Why not do more? I don't want to. I don't like it more than that. You know, I want to do other things. I don't want to be in my basement for 90 minutes a day. I don't want to be down here every single day. I don't want to do two-a-days. I can do 45 minutes a day, 6 days a week. And that's what allows me to have my cake and eat it too. It allows me to have the level of health that I want and also not suck me away from the rest of my life to a degree in which I don't want to. So why not train longer? I don't want to. I don't really like it that much. I don't like training more than that. And there are just other things I want to do with my time, right? There's only so many hours in a day, and that reflects the time that I feel good allotting to exercise. Now, that's the time constraints part. What are my values? What do I hope to be doing with that time? Well, it's no longer to be as jacked as possible. I think the last 2 years have really seen me deviate from that. I want to be strong, fast, fit, you know, cardiovascularly in shape, and ultimately physically and cognitively autonomous for as long as possible, right? Physically and cognitively autonomous for as long as possible. And I will say, this is not complicated for me. Being a dad, becoming a dad has changed everything. I just want to be physically and cognitively independent so I can spend as much quality time with my family and my children and my girls for as long as possible. And that's, when I sound that, it sounds very, I don't know, I don't want it to come off as if that's what I think you should want. I don't know, dear listener, where you are in your life and what your values are. And I've said before on social media, I'm not the values police. I'm not going to tell people what they should want. But becoming a dad has changed everything. I want to be able to hold her and walk around the block while holding her. And I know she's not going to be little and need me to hold her forever, but she'll need other or want other things from me to play, to run, to jump, to hike, to kick a ball around in the backyard, to go for a run together. Like, I want those things forever or for as long as possible. I want to be able to get down on the floor with her kids. Should I be lucky enough to become a grandfather? I want to be grandpa who's active grandpa and who's cognitively sharp grandpa. You know, I think a lot about, you know, I have neurodegenerative disease in my family. We have a lot of Alzheimer's in my family. I have, like we talked about before, like I'm 12 times more likely to develop Alzheimer's. So that's really on my mind a lot. And I will say though, even with all of that, if we're being totally honest, which I'm going to do on this podcast, I still probably want more muscle and strength than what's needed for that goal. Like, let's be real. I probably want to be a little bit more jacked than I need to be. Like, I'm not someone who's like, well, I'm just going to exercise. Like, I want to live as long as possible and not a second more. And I won't seek out any kind of more adaptations for a certain skill or adaptation, I guess, like muscle or strength, than I need to live a long time. Like, I want a little more muscle than that, period. And I was thinking, okay, well, why? Why do you still want that? And, you know, maybe I'm just still holding on to the idea that it's good for business, right? For me to totally not care about aesthetics at all might not be good for business if I'm trying to keep it, you know, fully transparent. And maybe there's still some ego there where I've always had a bit of that be my identity. And maybe somewhere deep down, I'm really not fully ready to let that go. And I'm at peace with that right now. I think I'm very much at peace with my values. And I'm okay saying, you know what, I like looking a certain way. And although that certain way has changed and it's gone down in terms of extremeness, let's say, to a lower threshold where I am now, which is not anywhere close to where I've been. I've been 20 pounds heavier, et cetera. I'm very much at peace with that. So what are my values? I want a variety of physical capabilities, right? I want to be cardiovascularly in shape. I want to be strong. I want to be muscular. I want to be able to, you know, in air quotes, move well. I don't, you know, that's quite vague, but somewhere in that sort of move well is relatively pain-free. I think the idea of being 100% pain-free forever is, it's not just idealistic. It's just not going to happen. You won't, if you want to be 100% pain-free, like, don't ever train. And frankly, that won't help. By the way, that won't help you avoid pain. It's mostly a joke. So relatively pain-free. I want to be relatively, like, serious injury-free, you know? So I don't want to tear a rotator cuff or something doing, you know, taking my bench press to the absolute max, for example. I want to be relatively pain-free as much as possible within the bounds of hard training. I want a bunch of stuff. I want to move well. I want to be in good cardio shape, be strong, muscular, healthy, live a long time, all that good stuff. And I a quick promo is, you know, if you've been in my group, the group has been live for almost 4 years, I think. I think it'll be 4 years this April. And if you've been with me since the start, and I know many of you have, you've seen my evolution as a person make its way into the group, right? We have, you know, a lot of things from the introduction of 3 times a week and 2 times per week training as I became more aware of the productivity and practicality of that stuff. You know, the introduction of cardio training, the introduction of more core training, the introduction of optional work, allowing you to pick and choose your journey a little bit and not feel confined to what one might say is most optimal for hypertrophy all the time. I still think that our groups are geared towards very efficient muscle growth and strength for sure. And in the future, you know, I'm recording this podcast on December 30th, starting our new program on January 12th, we will have even more cardio add-ons. Again, totally optional. They're just essentially, you start your program. Let's say you're doing the 3 time per week program. You can also toggle on the cardio add-on, and we have a 2 time per week cardio program, and we will have a 3 time per week cardio program. It's not running. It's just cardio. You can run. You can bike. You can swim. Elliptical, Stairmaster. It doesn't matter. And you can toggle those onto your calendar so that you can do cardio and lift weights and be productive with both of those. We also have a plyometric, a 1 time per week plyometric training that you can toggle on. And so, you know, my evolution as my values evolve, I want to make sure that I'm also offering those things to others. They are bread and butter in the group, will always be building muscle and strength. And I will 100% always think that that is minute for minute the best form of exercise for physical and, let's say, physical health and long-term longevity. That's redundant. But having those extras on there makes me feel, I don't know, just reflects kind of where I'm at, and maybe some of that resonates with you. Additionally, we're going to have some other programs built in if you are interested, things like an introduction to running. So if you don't run, but you'd like to, because everyone's running these days, it will be a running program that you can add to your lifting program that will help you go from not running at all to being able to run for 30 minutes straight. We'll also have introduction or beginner and advanced 5K, 10K, and marathon programs. That's not all going to be launched on January 12th, but it is my plan to have a lot of that stuff running in, let's say, the first quarter of 2026. So very excited about that. Now, let's get back to the equation. The equation was time constraints plus values equals reality. My time constraints, 45 minutes a day, 6 days a week. My values, I want to be good at a bunch of different stuff. So what is my reality? Now, you could get really good at a single thing training 6 days a week, 45 minutes, right? 6 days a week, 45 minutes of hypertrophy, you will get really jacked. You'll get really strong. You know, 6x45 of training to get fast, you'll get really fast. You know, that time commitment will get you in really good cardiovascular shape. You want to get really athletic and play a sport, you can get pretty darn athletic and you know, good at that modality in 6 times a week, 45 minutes. You can get really good at, you know, I'm not saying you can be the best in the world, but that is a time commitment that reflects if you put all of that time towards a single thing, you will get really good at it. However, if you want more than one thing, you want to be pretty muscular, you want to be pretty strong, you want to be pretty fast, you want to have a good mile time, you want to have a good marathon time, you want to do some plyometrics, you maybe, you know, listen, I'm this isn't going to be a mobility podcast. You haven't heard me talk about mobility yet because it has not yet made its way into something I think is worth a direct focus in my life. But, you know, who knows? But if you want more than one thing at 6 times a week, 45 minutes, it's this. What I'm about to say is not controversial. If you have time constraints and you want more than one thing, then you will be less good at those things than if you put all your time towards one thing, right? It's just not complicated. If I'm going to put more time into a single thing or all my time into a single thing, I'll get better at that thing than if I spend all my time and divide it up amongst into two things. And that's happened to me over the last 2 years, specifically with just cardio and lifting. 2 years ago, I was training 4 or 5 times a week, 60 minutes at least. Currently, as of today, I'm training 3 times a week, 30 to 35 minutes. And I shrunk that down so I could make room for running. I wanted to run more. I wanted to start running. 2 years ago, I had never run in my entire life, and I just wanted to start doing some cardio. I decided to start running. And I needed, because I have time constraints, again, they're self-imposed. I could have lifted 4 or 5 times a week and started running. I think that would have worked just fine. But I didn't want to. I kept my time constraints. And so going from, let's say, 5 hours of lifting per week to 1.5 hours of lifting per week, right? 5 hours, 450 minutes, down to 90 minutes, I lost muscle. Over the last 2 years, I have lost muscle and strength. It's not controversial. I'm not saying that with a heavy heart. I'm not angry about it, but I've lost muscle. And that was tough for me to deal with. I noticed it after maybe 6 months or so that I was losing a bit of muscle. And I know that that sounds scary. I just want to be blunt. It's not because I started running. It's because I dropped my lifting volume to like 1/5, right? Like if you, listener, take the lifting that you're doing right now and you cut it down to 1/5 and you do that for 2 years, you will lose some muscle. You won't be as jacked. That's not a controversial statement, you know? And we could talk about whether or not if I had done that for a short period of time when I've really been able to maintain muscle, but I did it for good. I haven't gone back on that. So I went from 450 minutes of training to 90 minutes of training, which is like 1/5 if my math is correct here. That's 20% of my volume, and I lost a little bit of muscle. Now, that muscle loss has stopped recently. I feel like I am not losing any more muscle. I feel like actually I'm back on a slight uptick, and I'm happy with where I'm at, right? I think it will be hard for me to get more muscular if I don't train more or go into a slight surplus, but I don't want to do those things. So I just have to accept what I am not willing to change. I don't want to train more. I don't want to eat in a small surplus. So guess what? If that means I don't get any more jacked, that's where the cards are going to lie. You know, that's just what it is, that I have to accept that. I've also added in some less sexy, you know, people like the word accessory. It's always cringed me out a little bit, but less sexy accessory work, which eats into my 30 minutes. You know, I used to spend 30 minutes, like 25 of those on like upper body training, you know, and now I want to make sure I'm training my hip flexors. I want to do my adductors, my abductors, my calves. I want to do a bit more core work, not a ton of core work, but I was doing none. So I'd like to do some. So my training volume right now is like 1 to 3 working sets per muscle group per week. You read that correctly, or you heard that correctly. 1 to 3 working sets per muscle group per week. And it's just not complicated. I'm not going to get more muscular doing that. And that's my point, right? I see myself gently broadening my goals, what I want from my fitness. And if my time constraints remain, I'll have to be less good at each thing. And that's kind of this therapy session that you and I together are having right now, which is, am I cool with that? You know, right now I lift 3 days and I run 3 days. If I want to add anything in and I don't want to train more, which I think about sometimes, like, oh, you could train a little bit more. Let's say I want to do plyometrics. Let's say I want to go play soccer. Like I want to join a soccer team in the area, maybe not over the winter, but maybe in the spring. That's going to take up one of those 6 workouts. So whatever it takes up, if I go down to 2 days of lifting, I might lose muscle again. I certainly won't. Again, I think 2 days per week can be very productive, but the more muscular you are, the less likely I think a person can grow on 2 times per week. I think I'll be fine, but it does beg that question. If I go down to 2 days per week running, like you can kiss serious progression goodbye. Right? It's not saying I couldn't get better at all, but you can kiss serious improvements goodbye. And it's like, okay, well, the more I add in, the less good, the lower my ceiling will be for each thing. And that's just where I'm at. Am I right now, I'm okay with that, right? And so what's cool is for health, right, for the goals that I have, which is physically and cognitively autonomous, right, feeling good, being healthy, avoiding chronic disease, avoiding neurodegenerative disease, you know, being able to move my body and feel good. For health, you don't actually need that much training at a certain modality to extract a lot of the benefit. Like for health, you know, quote unquote, mediocre might do just fine, right? Like you, I think we misunderstand how much muscle you need to get the muscle building or the health benefits of muscle. You can get, I'd say, near maximal benefit of muscle and strength from like 2 times per week lifting. It cardio, I think, has a higher ceiling. But I just feel like for health, I think it's possible to have a wide variety of modalities of training with a wide variety of adaptations and be okay at them and have okay be good enough for the goals of living a long time, you know, relatively pain-free, you know, fighting disease, all that good stuff. Like when I say that though, some of the thoughts come to mind. Some thoughts come to mind. We've talked about this a little bit on the podcast here, but will not being great at anything mean that my training is ultimately less fun? Right? Like, is part of the fun getting better, or is the fun doing it because it's good for me? And do I need fun to do it? And so is it almost better to have one part of your training where you're doing enough to really progress and get better because that actual progression is a vehicle for consistency? And again, these are just questions. I'm not sure. I don't know. You know, right now, I'm lifting 3 days a week for 30 minutes, and I don't think I'm doing the type of volume to see a lot of growth. But my running, currently, I'm still getting better at running. So I'm at least extracting enjoyment from the getting better part with my running. But let's say I add in one plyometric workout, and let's say I add in a day of soccer per week, and let's say all of my training now looks like it's maintenance. I run twice a week, probably maintenance. I lift twice a week, probably maintenance. I play soccer, you know, once a week. You know, I probably won't get that much better at soccer, let's say. But now I kind of have what I want, which is like a well-rounded, you know, physical capacity, you know, but I'm not getting better at anything. Will that still be fun? You know, is it maybe better to have slight emphases, right? Like right now I'm running and I'm getting better. Like my running is more of like a net positive in terms of adaptations while my lifting is more at maintenance and maybe cycling through that at different times. Maybe I go to lifting 4 days a week and I go to running 2 days a week and I push my lifting for 6 months to a year. And then I switch it and I say, okay, this year or this season, I'm going to run 4 days a week. I'm going to train for this marathon. And while I'm doing that, I'll lift twice a week. And that allows me to kind of always be getting better at something. I don't know. I think that sounds fine. That sounds like it makes sense in my mind. I'm just not sure. I have not done that yet. I have not gone to 4 days of something and 2 days of something else because I think right now lifting, I guess I'm still holding on to, I don't want to lose any more muscle and I am getting better at running. I'm not getting that much better. I'm not amazing at running. I'm actually not talented at all at running, but I'm still getting incrementally better. And so I haven't felt the need to skew that my workout days in another direction. But it is something I think about a lot. It's like, I don't want to train more, but I want to be pretty good or mediocre at least, you know, several different physical functions, let's say. And that means I'm not going to be great at any of them. And am I going to be able to continue doing everything without being great at anything? Like it was so easy for me to go to the gym when I was my most jacked, right? It was like, this is what you're really good at. And it's where you derive all your identity or a lot of your identity from, you know? And so going to the gym, like, was a thing I was continuing to get better at. I was already good at. I come down to my basement some days and in the back of my mind, I kind of know that I'm relatively at maintenance volume with my training. And so does that make it a little harder to have good workouts and really push myself? Because I, you know, again, I'm speaking a little bit hyperbolic, but let's phrase it this way. It's like, I'm working super hard and I know I'm not going to get any better. Can I keep doing that? I don't know. Right now, I feel like I can, especially with my lifting, because my running is getting better. But The more things I try to shove in to my training without my total training time going up, the less good I'm going to be at each thing, and I'm curious how I handle that. I was thinking of an analogy. Is there an analogy? I'm not even sure you need an analogy. I think that's pretty straightforward. I think, listener, you probably get it, but I'm going to give you an analogy anyway. And it's like, imagine you are a world traveler and your goal is to travel and experience different cultures and to get out in the world and see absolutely everything. It probably behooves you to learn a few languages. Let's pretend like the whole world doesn't speak English. They don't. And this probably does make some sense. But let's say you think, okay, if I'm going to be traveling the world and I want to experience as much as possible, I probably need to learn several languages, or it would behoove me, it would enhance my experience to learn several languages. I will extract the most joy out of my world traveling. Should you get really good at one language? Probably not. Should you get okay at a bunch of different languages so you can really handle yourself wherever you are? That's probably a good plan. Should you study 4 or 5 hours a day so that you become fluent in 20 languages? Probably not. You know, 4 or 5 hours a day probably eats into your exploring time, the stuff that you really care about. So you're probably left with, okay, I know that I should probably learn, English, Spanish, Mandarin, whatever. But I don't want to spend my whole day in a classroom or on Zoom calls with tutors. So what you come up with is that you're probably best off being okay at a bunch of languages and studying for an hour a day. So you're not spending so much time studying that you're not out exploring. And you get good enough at those languages to handle yourself around the world. And this is how you maximize your enjoyment. You're not focused on getting really good at one language. That's probably not your best way. You're not focused on getting really good at a bunch of different languages because that violates your time constraints you want to place on how long you want to study. And so you're left with being mediocre at a bunch of different languages. And that, again, that would be a representation of this person maximizing their life and their enjoyment here. So that's kind of where I'm at right now. I don't know where I'll be in 5 to 10 years. I don't know. My goal is to keep training forever, right? It's to keep taking care of myself physically forever. I don't know what that's going to look like. What's funny is I just had a chat with a client. I said, I'll probably do a powerlifting competition at one time in my life because I see competition and performance as a really good vehicle, and running has really given me that, a vehicle for fun, a vehicle for consistency, mental stimulation. I've never powerlifted before. Of course, I've squatted, benched, and deadlifted and gotten strong at those lifts, but I've never powerlifted before. And so, I don't know what will come of the next 5 to 10 years, but I think for right now, what it's been is 2025 really has been, and what 2026 will be, is accepting my reality, is that I've chosen a time constraint that allows me to be present with my family and work to support my family. And then I've decided that I want at least a few different things out of my training. At least I want running and lifting. And if I want running and lifting and I have this time constraint, well, that equals a certain reality for me, which is mediocrity. And I say that, I'm in a not self-deprecating, but mostly in a funny tongue-in-cheek sort of way where it's like, I just have to accept I won't be amazing at anything. I'm not going to be the running influencer who wows you with his times. I'm not going to be the fitness influencer who wows you with his muscularity. But you know what's funny? I took on a one-on-one client yesterday, and if you're listening to this, I really appreciated this. She said, I really wanted to hire you. There were some other things, but one of the things that she said was, because you seem like a really reasonable person. You're a dad, you're a husband, your entire business is not based on your body or how fit you are. And the phrase reasonable person just stuck with me. And I was like, that is, in today's social media landscape, the highest of praise, being a reasonable person. And that's kind of reflects, I was like, yeah, I really appreciate that. That is how I feel, where I want to be a dad and a husband and take care of myself and not obsess over just one type of training. Listen, again, I want to say that without sounding like that's how you should feel, but I still want to be more jacked than I need to be for health. I still am holding on to that, and I feel fine with that. But yeah, I think that stuck with me a little bit. And so, yeah, thank you for coming on this journey with me. I was going to just write this out in some notes to just better articulate how I'm feeling. And I think that it was helpful to record this episode. So thank you for listening and giving a shit long enough to get here to this point in the episode. And if it resonated with you in any way, feel free to reach out. If you're interested in my group program, we are growing the breadth of what we offer. Every 6 months, we're offering some new things. And so if you are interested in building muscle and strength, that's our bread and butter. But if you have some slight other interests that you want to add on, it could be cardio, could be running, could be getting into running or running a race, could be plyometrics. We have those add-ons. You know, you can think of it like you're at a sushi restaurant and you're kind of like, I don't know if you've ever been to a sushi restaurant where they come over and they give you the paper and you just write how many of each piece you want. That's kind of what we offer in terms of training. We have training plans, but we also have little add-ons. So you can kind of shape your weekly routine to reflect what's important to you. And that's really what's important to me right now, is giving you that freedom. So all right, guys, I will see you in the next episode. Have a good one. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Where Optimal Meets Practical. If you liked the episode, it would mean the world to me if you posted a screenshot to your social media or left a 5-star review on iTunes. That stuff really helps. If you ever want to get in touch with me, just shoot me a DM on Instagram @JordanLipsFitness. I'm always around to chat. Thanks, guys. Have a good one.